In the book of Acts, we have the story where Peter and John are about to go into the temple at the hour of prayer. And a certain man, it says in verse 2, was laid lame from his mother's womb, was carried there, and they had laid him daily, everybody say daily,
daily,
at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms or money or begging of them that enter to the temple. I want you to get a picture of this. Here's a man. Later on in the story, we find out this man is above 40 years of age. We find out that this man was lame from his mother's womb. Think about that. Never, ever having been able to walk. Isn't that sad? And to have him every day, when you get up in the morning, know that what you're going to have to do is carry this boy. Somebody had to carry him down there. And carry this boy down there. I don't think they had wheelchairs back in this day. Somebody had to carry him on some type of stretcher or a litter or some kind to get him to a place where hopefully somebody would feel sorry and compassion for them and give them some money so that they could have some sustenance from a day-to-day basis. And you think your life is tough. Every day. Everybody say every day.
Every day.
Doesn't the scripture say daily?
Daily.
I mean, no, that's every day. You know, life is daily. And there's certain things you have to do every day. Dennis Burke said when he was here one time, it's a fallacy that you have to brush your teeth. You just have to brush the ones you'd like to keep. That's the only ones you have to brush. So the truth of the matter is, this is a situation that oftentimes you just read it and you overlook it. And you stop, and if you don't stop and think about how desperate this situation must have been. And I also think about this. This apparently was a direct pathway into the temple area. Jesus Christ himself had walked by this man many times. Amen? Without a doubt, Jesus Christ and his disciples, as they would go into the temple enclosure area, had walked right by this man. You know, probably everybody knew this man's name. Everybody knew him by name. I remember when I was growing up, and I still am, we had a fella in Cambridge that used to be on the street corner. I was born and raised in Vienna, and so, you know, I didn't even know Salisbury existed until I met Lynette. And I got a temporary visa that's been good now for 47 plus years. But we had a fellow in Cambridge, and everybody called him Mousy the Pickpocket. I have no idea why they called him that, but that was his name. And if you hollered, "Hey, Mousy," he'd answer. I'm sure that wasn't his name. And I'm sure he probably wasn't a pickpocket, but everybody called him Mousy the Pickpocket. Had nothing to do with what I'm preaching on. It just happened to come up. This fella had a name, and everybody knew him as the lame fella. Everybody knew him as the fella who had never walked. Everybody knew him as the fella who was lame from his mother's womb. This particular day, though, is different.
Amen.
I want you to say this with me. In 24 hours, everything can change. About this time tomorrow. Say it with me, about this time tomorrow. See, never give up. Because about this time tomorrow, everything could change. And I'm talking about positive change. So this was a day much like every other day. And yet, this particular day, we have Peter and John who were walking by this boy. And he asked for alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now, he was expecting to receive money. He's about to receive something. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." Now, that didn't mean they were broke because they were going to the temple and you had to pay to get into the temple. Here, you see, you don't have to pay to get in. You have to pay to get out. I'm just teasing. Amen. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you." Watch this. "In the name," everybody say in the name.
"In the
name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And then he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. Watch this, walking, leaping, and praising God. Here's a man who had never walked, and because of the name of Jesus, now he's walking. He's leaping and he's praising God. What's in a name? Apparently a lot of power in this particular case. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now watch what Peter says. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why are you marveling at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or our own holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." Now watch verse 16. "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know." Yes, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of God. Of you all. Pray with me if you would. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the name that's higher than every other name. And we have faith in the name of Jesus today. And we thank you for your anointing on this message and on this service, Lord, and everything that's been said and done up to this point. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, Jesus went about doing good, the Bible said, because he was anointed of the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:38 says, "Jesus, who was anointed by the Holy Spirit, went about doing," say it with me, "good. And healing," how many? All that were what? "Oppressed and sick from the devil." See, so many people today don't realize that he's the problem. God's not the problem. It's the enemy that's the problem. Jesus taught his disciples many, many lessons. And many times he would even say to them, "I have many things yet to say unto you." John 16:13, he said it this way, "I have many things yet to say unto you, you're not able yet to bear them. Howbeit, when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall testify of me, and he will show you things to come." The name of Jesus has been given to the church. We must have faith in the authority that's in Jesus' name. Jesus spent 3.5 years teaching, preaching, healing, teaching his disciples through parables and through stories, displaying the power of God through miracles, signs, and wonders. The ministry of Jesus was that of teaching. Say it with me, teaching, preaching, and healing. Say it one more time, teaching, preaching, and healing. And then sometimes people will say, "Well, why do you emphasize that so much?" Well, Jesus emphasized it, and so I think probably we ought to as well. But I want you to look at Matthew chapter 28, and Jesus at the very end of his ministry on the earth, he has his disciples gathered together to say one last thing to them before he goes back to his Father. And it tells us in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 16, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them." This is an amazing verse to me, verse 17. "And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." Think about that. Seeing the glorified, raised, resurrected Jesus and still having doubts in your heart. Some of them doubted. Jesus came, verse 18, "and spoke unto them, saying, all power," and that's the Greek word for authority. So say, all authority.
All authority.
"All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth." But now he turns right around and says to his disciples and to us, "Because the power is in me, go ye therefore." Everybody say, "Go ye." Now let me see the hands of everybody that's a ye. What's wrong with the rest of you? One fellow's checking with his wife to see if he's a ye. This scripture says, "Go ye." Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody has to go to Ghana or everybody has to go to Southeast Asia, but we must go into our world.
Amen.
This week, actually yesterday, I attended the funeral of the state trooper that broke me in, as we call it, on the road. He was one of the first troopers I met when I went to the barrack in 1965 as a dispatcher. And a lot of times he would been working night shift after I would work the 4 to midnight shift, and he would say, do you want to ride with me for a couple hours? And so even as a civilian, I'd be riding in the police car with this trooper. And we were good friends for many years. And when I came out of the academy, they put me with him to, you know, have my break-in period. They don't just give you a badge and gun, turn you loose, guys. Aren't you glad? And so he had passed away this past week, and his son used to go to our church many years ago when we were in Shopper's World. And so I had a really close relationship with him, but not recently. But as I went to his funeral yesterday and I saw his family, I was reminded of how that when I rode with him, how I witnessed to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was so thankful that back in those days, 1968, wow, 50 years ago, think about it. 50 years ago that I shared my testimony with him and told him about what the Lord Jesus Christ had done in my life. You know, everybody can do that. I said everybody can do that. Don't ever think that you're not qualified. I mean, the devil, we've already talked about that. He'll try to tell you you're not qualified, but he's a liar. Everybody can go. And so as I was there at his funeral, I remembered that he attended the Lane Adams Crusade here in Salisbury in 1969. And he and his wife had gone forward in the altar call. And so I was so glad to know that at least he had made a decision back then in 1969. Now, I don't know how fresh it was now. It's none of my business. But I'm so glad. Listen, everybody you've ever talked to about the Lord, keep believing that word you planted is working. You may not see the fruit of it ever, but keep believing the seed you planted in somebody else's life is working. So he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Watch this. Baptizing them in the name. Somebody say in the name. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, one preacher said that's why he didn't fly, because Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You know, I had a lady here in our church many years ago who came from a Jesus-only persuasion. She was one of those churches where they didn't believe in the Trinity. And so she said to me, and I knew where she was coming from, she said, Pastor Jonathan, how do you baptize people? Well, I knew what she was after. So I said, dear sister, the Bible says to baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. And Colossians says, whatsoever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So I baptize people in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I figured I'd covered all her bases when I did that. And she looked at me and she said, I can live with that. That name, when you baptize people, baptize them in that name that's above every other name. We're right here in Matthew. Let's go over to Mark. Let's go over to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Somebody say, faith in the name. Mark chapter 16, again, Jesus speaking to his disciples just before he's caught up into heaven to be with his Father. Verse number 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. How many believers do I have in the church this morning? These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Somebody say in his name. In my name they shall cast out demons or devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Wendy Bagwell used to travel with the Sunlighters. Some of you may remember Wendy Bagwell, gospel singer. He had two girls called the Sunlighters. They were in this church in Mississippi. This particular church believed in handling the snakes. And in every service, they would pick up the rattlesnakes and pass them around. When they got doing that, Wendy said to one of the Sunlighters, he said, where's the back door in this church? And she said, I don't think they have a back door. He said, reckon where they'd like to have a back door. And sometime during that service, the pastor said to him and said, Wendy, are you saying that if the Lord told you to take up the serpent, you wouldn't do it? He said, I'm not saying that. He said, well, then for Pete's sake, what are you saying? I'm saying he didn't and I ain't. No, this is not talking about playing with rattlesnakes. This is talking about having power over the devil. Now, Paul the apostle had a snake bite him in the book of Acts. He was warming his hands on a fire. Remember that? After the shipwreck in Acts. And he was warming his hands and a snake, a viper, a poisonous snake, latched itself to his arm. And he just shook the thing off. You know why? Because he believed in his name. He believed in the name of Jesus was more powerful than a poisonous snake bite. And when he shook that thing off and he didn't puff up and he didn't die, the people said he must be a god. No, he's not a god. He's got faith in the name. Everybody say, I've got faith in the name. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, you go on the mission field, claim this scripture right here. It shall not hurt them. And I love this part. They shall lay hands on the sick. All of this is done in his name. I've actually had people say, well, what gives, actually somebody even said it one time publicly in the service, what gives you the right to believe that you can heal somebody? Well, see, they don't understand. We're not the healer. But he commanded us as believers to lay hands on the sick in his name. And whatever you do, Colossians once again says, whatever you do, be it word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So I have faith today in the name. We're right here in Mark. Let's go over to Luke's gospel. Let's go over to Luke's gospel, chapter 24. Everybody say faith in the name. Now, of course, Jesus has spoken to the two on the Emmaus road. And here he's speaking at his disciples. And it says in verse 45 of chapter 24, he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Now he has two things he's talking about here, repentance and remission. Repentance is simply changing your mind and going a different direction. If you decided that you were going to go north this afternoon after church, and then all of a sudden you just decided instead you wanted to go south, you just repented. And so he's talking about preaching that people need to change their mind. You see, Jesus started his ministry that way. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is he saying? He's telling people that it's time to repent in the way we've thought in the past. Now, I know none of you here have ever had to change your mind about anything. Some men even say it's a woman's prerogative to change your mind. I got a really big amen over that. I said some men say that. I did not say that I said that. Just make sure you understand that. Repentance and remission. And remission is such a powerful word, because remission just doesn't mean that the sin is forgiven. It means the sin is forgotten. It doesn't mean that just that the debt is paid is that the debt is erased. It doesn't mean that there's a record somewhere of all of our sins. It means our sins are gone. Hallelujah. And I have preached this and preached this and preached this till I'm almost blue and red in the face at the same time. God is not counting up nor holding against men their trespasses, but in Christ he has canceled them. And he has committed unto you and I the word and the message of reconciliation. To wit, God was in Christ. It was God. Say it with me. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself. And so we are preaching repentance and remission of sins, and it should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning now, right where they were at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Isaiah said his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What's in a name? Obviously, there's power in the name. We just heard Lee refer to John 14:12. He that believeth in me, truly, 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 verily, verily, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall you do. The next verse, the 13th verse says this, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, And it goes on and says, one translation, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I am doing, I will surely do it. What does it mean to ask in the name of Jesus? Thank you for asking that question. It means to ask in line with who He is and what He does. We're not asking for things outside the will of God. We're revealing through prayer and through the study of the Word what God's will is in a situation. We ask in His name according to all that He is. That's why when I've asked the Lord for anything that I need in my life, I know that I'm not begging Him. I'm not coercing Him. I'm not making some kind of deal with Him. I'm just simply asking for that which He's already provided. Actually, in the Bible, when you see the word ask, in most Greek words, that ask means make a demand upon. Now, we're not demanding God to do anything. What we are doing is making a demand on the supply. Now, I've used this illustration many times. When I was in the state police, we had an MSP form 120. I mean, you couldn't get anything in the state police if you didn't fill out the right forms. I don't care. Your pants could be threadbare, but you're not getting a new pair of pants until you fill out the MSP form 120, requisition for supplies. The first thing that had to happen was your supervisor had to examine your pants and see whether they were shiny or whether or not they were ripped or something. We had straight down the side, and it used to come unstitched all the time. And so to do that, you had to get your supervisor to approve your requisition. Then it had to go to the captain of the division. The captain had to authorize it. Then it had to go over to, listen now, supply division. Now what you have just done, you have filled out a requisition. You have made a demand upon supply division. And so your supervisor has approved your demand. Hallelujah. And your captain has signed off on your demand. And they're going to send you from Waterloo Supply Division in Jessup, Maryland, a brand new pair of pants. And hopefully they'll fit. The guy that used to make our uniforms, we called him Omar the Tent Maker, because you just never knew what it were going to get. Jesus said in John 14:13 in another translation, that's how the Father will be seen for who He is in the Son. I mean it. Whatever you request in this way, I'll do it. It's important, it's powerful to know that we have the privilege to use the name, to ask in the name, to do what we do in the name, all in the authority and the power of the name. We have a name today given among men that's higher than any other name, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and has given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Listen, cancer's a name and it has to bow. It has to bow to the name of Jesus. Heart disease is a name and it has to bow to the name of Jesus. Family problems is a name and it has to bow to the name of Jesus. Financial lack is a name and it has to bow to the name of Jesus. Glory to God. We have a name that's higher than every other name. The name of Jesus. How many have faith in the name today? Glory to God. In John 15, verse 16, Jesus said, I have chosen you and I have ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father, watch this, in my name. Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father, in my name, He will give it to you. Somebody say, I've got faith in the name. Let's go to Acts chapter 4 quickly. Acts chapter 4. Now, of course, after this healing, there's quite a stir in Jerusalem. And Peter has already preached his first message, and people have been born again and saved as a result of his first message. Now he's getting ready to preach a second message. And the Bible said that the people were grieved. The priests, the Sadducees, verse 1 of chapter 4. They were grieved because the disciples were teaching the people and preaching through the name of Jesus a resurrection from the dead. And notice this, they laid hands on them and put them in prison till the next day. Many of them which heard the word believed. The number of the men was about 5,000. So they set them in the midst in verse 7, and they said to them, by what power or by what name? They wanted to know, where do you get this authority? You remember when David went out against Goliath? Now, he just happened to be there on a mission. His father said, send some cheese and crackers up there to the boys and see how the battle's going. And so David wasn't up there to show off. He was just doing his father's will. There's something powerful that will happen in your life if you'll keep doing God's will. I'm telling you, God will put you in a position sometimes to kill a giant and you didn't even know that giant existed. God will put you in the right spot at the right time, and if you'll believe God for it, He'll use your life mightily. But when David showed up, his oldest brother said, who's taking care of daddy's sheep? And why are you here? I can just hear him saying, who do you think you are and what are you doing here? It's just like the enemy to try to tell you and I, who do you think you are? Listen, it's not who we are, it's whose. Yeah. It's not who we are, it's whose we are. And so they said, what power, what authority have you, and what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people. Isn't this interesting now, Peter who ran away from a little girl? Peter who ran away from a little 14, 15-year-old girl when she said, you were with him. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Now all of a sudden he's with the very people that had Jesus crucified, and now he's filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, what a difference a day makes. Amen. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost and said, Holy Ghost said, you rulers, elders of Israel, if this day we be examined for the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. In the name of Jesus, miracles will be done that the world cannot deny. The man with a miracle is greater than the man with an argument. And when they saw this man above 40 years of age, everybody knew this man, and now this man is completely well. He's completely whole. They could say nothing against it. Verse 13, or 12 rather, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name. Somebody say that with me, no other name. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and knew that they were uneducated, unlearned men, so to speak, they marveled at them and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I want it to be so in our lives, every one of us in this place, that when we go out into our world and we go out into our marketplace, maybe people won't understand, but they'll know there's something different about us. May they know that we've been with Jesus. If you've been with Jesus this morning, shout hallelujah to the Lord. Glory to God. And they said, what shall we do to these men? A notable miracle, verse 16, has been done, and we cannot deny it. But let it spread no further. Let us threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak nor teach in the name of Jesus. Many years ago, way back, we had a young lady in our church, and she wanted to get married. And she was going to marry a Jewish boy. And they were coming to the church. The Jewish boy was coming. And I love my Jewish brothers. Jesus was Jewish. Amen. And so this young fella and this lady, they wanted to get married. This young girl and this young fella, they wanted to get married. And so we told them we would marry them. I never saw anybody more nervous in my life than that boy was that day. But the only person that was more nervous than him was his sister. And his sister, she was a lovely person. She came to me. She said before the service, she said, Is there any way that you can do this wedding today without mentioning the name of Jesus? I said, I'm sorry, I can't. She just wanted me to go ahead and marry them. But now this wasn't coming from him or the bride or the bridegroom. It was coming from the sister of the bridegroom. And I said, ma'am, I am so sorry, but everything I do in the name of Jesus. I understand you don't believe he's Messiah, but we love you anyhow. Amen. And they said, we're going to threaten these people. Have you ever been intimidated trying to talk to somebody about the Lord? Have you ever felt like, well, if I say something to them, they may not, they may reject me. Hey, they rejected Jesus. I don't know anybody that likes to be rejected. Amen. But by the same token, if God opens a door somewhere, if somebody's heart opens just a little bit, don't let the devil threaten you. Don't let the devil intimidate you. Sow whatever seed you can. I was reminded of this as I came home from this trooper's funeral yesterday afternoon. I rode by the scene of the very first fatal accident that he and I investigated together, where a fellow had wrapped himself around a tree in Willards and lost his life. And I wanted to ride by there to see if that tree was still there. 50 years ago, and that tree is still there. They've cut the top out of it because of the power lines and everything, you know. But as I went by that scene, and I thought about he and I investigating that accident in 1968, and I thought about how I'd witnessed to him and talked to him about the Lord, and so many other troopers that I worked with and cadets that worked with me, and I taught every one of them. Every one of them got witnessed to real good. I mean real good. Matter of fact, we were doing a basketball game one night at one of the local high schools, me and another believer. And before the game, we went out. We were in the locker room. We were dressed, and we grabbed hands together, and we prayed that the God would help us to have a good game. And the coach was standing there, and we didn't know it. And when we said amen, he said, that's the first time I've ever seen that. I'm telling you one thing, nowadays when you're refereeing, you better go out there prayed up. But I'm telling you what, man. Some of those crowds can be hostile, man. I'm telling you. Matter of fact, we were in Chrisfield one night. The reason I say that is because this young lady played for Chrisfield for years. Great little ball player. And we were in Chrisfield one night long before she was in high school. And we were doing this game. And Chrisfield was losing by a couple of points. And my partner was getting ready to put the ball in. And the deputy sheriff, who's supposed to be there for security, he said, if Chrisfield loses this game, you know. And no, my partner said to the sheriff, he said, if Chrisfield loses this game, I need your help getting to the locker room. Sheriff looked at him and said, if Chrisfield loses, you on your own, Bubba. And I didn't make that up. That really happened. Let's get back to the Bible. Amen. And they called them in verse 18 and commanded them not to speak nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, you'll have to judge. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done, the healing of this man. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom the miracle of healing was showed. There's power in the name of Jesus. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, John said this, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name. Say that with me. We should believe on the name. You know, the Ten Commandments were given as a law to help people live their lives in a holy and moral way, but the Ten Commandments could never produce righteousness. Jesus has given us a commandment here. This is the commandment, watch this, that we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandments. In the book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, I'm coming in for a landing. Revelation chapter 2, Jesus is speaking by His angels to the church. Watch what He says in Revelation chapter 2 to the church at Pergamos. This is what He says, verse number 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath a sharp sword with two edges. I know your works and where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is. But you have held fast to my name. You have held fast. You have held fast to my name. You did not deny my name, even though your church was situated where Satan dwells. You did not deny my faith in those days. My brother, sister, this is not a day to deny the name or the faith of Jesus Christ. Years ago, most of you remember the shooting at Columbine. and some demon-possessed, demon-inspired young men decided that they would go in and shoot up a school. And when they began to shoot, you know, students began to lock themselves in rooms and so forth. And the story goes that this one particular girl, he got right to her and he said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "If you're a Christian, I'm going to shoot you." And she said, "I will not deny my Lord." And she died. But Jesus received her. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto everyone that believes. Most of you know that we traveled and sang gospel music for many, many years. And there was a song written by Bill and Gloria Gaither. And Dwayne, I have it on YouTube, on the Google thing down there. I want you to play this in just a moment. And she wrote a song, "Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name." While I was here yesterday in the church, I was contemplating this message. And I thought about today being the Super Bowl Sunday. I know most of you don't care. My wife says, "Thank God for Hallmark." And I know some of you got a horse in this race. I've seen the Eagles. Sports stuff. That's all I got to say about that. But there's a trophy that will be awarded to the team that wins the Super Bowl. It's known as the Vince Lombardi Trophy. It's not known as the Engelbert Humperdinck Trophy. It's not known as the Elvis Presley Trophy. It's not known as the Frank Sinatra Dean Martin Trophy. It is the Vince Lombardi Trophy. And the reason it's named the Vince Lombardi Trophy is because of Vince Lombardi. The very first trophy that was ever given was the Vince Lombardi Trophy 51 years ago in 1967. The trophy was first sketched out, Lynette, on a napkin. Just you did the church logo. Here we are 51 years later. And guess what? We're still calling that trophy the Vince Lombardi Trophy. Why? Because Vince Lombardi really made football and the Super Bowl what it is today. And I know he had help. But my point is this. We have a name on our trophy. And that name is the King of Kings. That name is the Lord of Lords. That name is the Rose of Sharon. That name is the Lily of the Valley. That name is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. That name is the beginning and the end. That's the name he called Wonderful. That's the name he called Counselor. This is the name given among men whereby all men must be saved. He's the Lily of the Valley, the bright and morning star. He's the one altogether lovely, the one whom my soul loveth this morning. Thank God for the name. Thank God for the name of Jesus. So I wrote this down. What's in a name? A person, a place, a thing. No, a name carries power. A name changes everything. We may call something right, or we may call something wrong. We even may sing a name in a song. But names have meanings and a story. And there is a name written down in glory. We call him Jesus, for he will from sin save. To him God the Father gave this great name. In his name doubts and fears will flee. His name will bring power and glorious liberty. No other name can compare, no other name would even dare to be higher than this name. Though the world tries to bring its fame, only Jesus brings freedom from our shame. So what's in a name? Just this, the first, the last, the one who forever is, Alpha, Omega, from beginning to the end. His name is highest, world without end. What's in a name? Act 2, scene 2, Romeo and Juliet. What's in a name? Would not a rose by any other name smell as sweet? What was he saying? It didn't make any difference that his name was Montague. Didn't make any difference. But we have a name. We have a name that's above every other name. Dwayne, have you got that? I want us to do this now. I need it. I need a name. We need a name. We need a name. And we have one. Take the name of Jesus with you. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its praises. It sounds like music to my ear. The sweetest. Forget the rest. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Say it with me, Jesus. Stand to your feet, say, Jesus. Say it one more time, Jesus. There's something about that name. Would you enjoy this?